Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation
with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
That's us. What's up, Lisa Wolf?
What's up, Carl? I'm excited. I just have to say, your birthday is in 51 minutes.
What?
Yeah.
I'm 21 again?
Yeah, so I want everybody to know, and I feel lucky to celebrate even 1 hour of your birthday
with you
this morning.
And you know who had a birthday last week?
I sure do.
Who?
Mike.
Mike Costello.
Oh, I did?
Your birthday was on Tuesday.
Correct.
And so we celebrated via text, but now we
via
can...
Via.
And now we can celebrate in person. So it's a double birthday celebration.
Wow. It was a pretty big week for me. It was my wife's birthday the following day and our wedding anniversary and our engagement.
Oh, I hope you bought a lot of presents.
Are you broke with all the presents you had to buy?
Maybe.
Then you probably don't want to say.
Well, this is program 311 in the series. It's August 19th, at least for another 50 minutes. And we're going to play Boston Blackie. And I'm playing this as sort of a birthday present to myself because I love Boston Blackie. And I love Chester Morris as Boston Blackie in the movies. We played plenty of Boston Blackie episodes here starring Dick Calmar.
Right.
And I don't think we've ever played one with Chester Morris. It was a, in 1944, it was a summer replacement for Amos and Andy. And you're going to hear a very rare episode. I think there's only seven or eight of them that exist of Chester Morris portraying the role that he made famous in the movies on radio in a 1944 episode of Boston Blackie that's coming your way in just a few minutes. Then it's my brother's least favorite radio show, The Great Gildersleeve, although it's a fan favorite.
It sure is.
Listeners love it.
They do. Most of them love it. And, you know, we can't please everyone, but we do try hard.
Well, my brother's kind of crabby.
He
doesn't like the laugh, you know, the hates that.
I know.
And we're going to do something different too.
We're going to have a lot of fun.
We're going to play a new game, right? Roger, is Roger there?
Yes, I am.
All right.
This game is brought to us by whom?
Cat's Pride.
Yeah, absolutely right. Cat's Pride, our main sponsor here. In fact, next week, Dan Jaffe will be here to talk about the latest and greatest with Cat's Pride and give away another year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. So tell us a little bit about this game, Master of Ceremonies.
Well, this is our version of Name That Tune. It's a classic radio and TV game. There are versions of it on TV right now, in fact.
Hmm.
And what we do is we kind of give a couple of hints.
We're not going to get a cease and desist letter from the
people. Well, we might.
Well, you might.
It's your show. I'm one of the lowly people on the totem pole, and so you'll be the one I'll point to. You know, when they show up with the FBI jackets.
Oh, I'll be long
jackets.
Gone.
Okay, Kemosabe.
Yeah, okay. Kemosabe, what do you mean we? Kemosabe.
You mean we?
Yeah, right. so what we're going to do is we're going to give you a couple of hints. Why did my screen just do that? Okay, we're going to give you a couple of hints about the performer and possibly the song.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will allow you to bid by seconds on how many seconds you think it will take you to hear an instrumental portion of the song.
Oh, it's instrumental.
Yes.
It's not even any words.
Yes.
Ooh.
So going to make it a little tougher.
I'm going to make Lisa guess that.
Whoever decides that they don't want to try for it, they will say, name that tune after the other person gives their final bid. And again, we're doing it by seconds, not by notes.
Okay, I just want to jump in and say one thing.
Yeah.
We're going to start it today, and we're just going to have Carl and I compete.
Right.
And in the future, we may add some listeners, but for tonight, it's just going to be us. We'll see how it goes. If it works and we love it, we'll add the listeners in. But for now, we won't take any
this
callers.
This is sort of a dry run. It's a pilot episode.
Okay.
And
Shantae's
going to...
Pilot episode of Name That Tune.
She will be playing the cut. And then if you guess it, you'll get a point. We'll start saving up points. If you miss it, you lose.
Yeah, but the other guy can give it a shot, right?
Well,
why not?
We'll try.
Let's play.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then if you don't get it, then we do have the song itself.
No, it probably means you picked a bad song.
All right, go ahead. Go ahead, Roger.
All right. So again, the ground rules were that the song had to be from the 70s, 80s, or 90s.
Okay.
Okay. So here is your hint. And Lisa, we will go to you first, for the bid. So, hang in there. This trio had a series of hit songs through most of the 70s, and they even had their own hit TV show. This song of theirs hit number one in 1975. Lisa, can you name that tune? How many seconds?
Carl, I can name that tune in 6 seconds.
Really?
Ooh.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Smarty pants. Yeah, go ahead, smarty.
Okay.
Smarty.
Seriously?
Cakes.
Okay. Really?
All
yeah,
right.
Go okay,
ahead.
Shante, play the first 6 seconds, please.
You're not going to know this song.
You're not
going to know this song.
Lisa, what is the name of that song?
I have no idea.
Of course she has no idea.
Carl, would you like to try to name that song?
I'm going
to
guess it's the Monkees.
No.
But that's all I would think. I would just think it's the Monkees, but I don't have any idea what
the
song
is.
No one has a guess. All right, Shantae.
Because the Monkees, weren't three. They were more than three, right?
It was like five.
It was like five. Okay, it's not the Monkees.
No, it's definitely not the Monkees.
Shantae, can you play the regular song, the full song?
Wait, sounds familiar.
This must be like the Partridge Family or
no,
something.
No, it's not the Partridge Family.
It's a trio. I gave you the hint.
Oh, trio.
Here we go.
That's three.
Don't love you like I love you.
All right, you can fade it down.
I never even heard
What is the group?
The Commodores?
Tony, Orlando, and Dawn.
Oh.
You don't... Oh my God, they had their own TV show?
If you would have done Tie a Yellow
Ribbon. No, and that's the case.
And that's what we said. You got to play the most famous song.
This was a number one song in 1975. Were you even alive?
I think I wasn't born yet, but Carl was. I think we... Stop laughing. I think we need the chorus.
No, I'm not giving you the chorus.
Well, you have to.
Why? What, in the hint? Like the 10
no,
seconds?
No, in the when you choose the music, maybe it should be from the chorus rather than the intro.
No, it's got to be the instrumental. If I give you the one with the words in it, you guess the name of the song.
I didn't say it had to have words. I just said the chorus of the song.
Hey,
but the chorus has
remember
the words in the song.
Hey, Lisa, remember that game we used to play where I pick a song for you and you'd pick a song for me?
Yeah.
It's not sounding so bad
anymore. You know
what?
It sounded
real good
right now. This was the perfect song you guys just didn't know. This was perfect. This is exactly how they play it in the game.
Sounded pretty good right about now, right?
Yeah, I'm going to hurt you.
I think that may have been my error.
Hey, come on. He spent all week trying to figure out what song to play, I'm sure.
Well, we'll talk about it some more.
I did it last night right after they asked me.
Here's the good news. I'm winning.
You are not winning.
No, you are not.
Yeah, because Lisa's a negative one right
no,
now.
We're
so
yeah, so are you.
Dump.
You guessed.
No.
No, you guessed like three times.
Well, you're at zero.
All right. Well.
All right, we'll move on.
All right.
I'd like to hear what the audience thinks.
Are we playing
thinks?
Spots? Yeah,
I think it's perfect.
Well, I think that that
I'm going
was,
back doing the news.
That
Bye.
Was what it was. That was our name, that tune. I'm not sure. That was kind of like a lead balloon. Kind of like a Zeppelin right about there. Here's a few commercials. Then it's Boston Blackie. Stick around.
It was a great game.
Oh, my gosh.
He's hurt.
You know those guys in the white coats?
Yeah.
Call a couple of those guys, would you?
Poor Roger.
Right now. All right, time for Boston Blackie. We're running late. We're going to be late for the news here. Boston Blackie. Everybody knows Chester Morris played Boston Blackie in the movies. There were 14 films by Columbia pictures from 1940, starting in 1941. And then in 1944, NBC lured Chester Morris to the radio microphones to star in a summer series for Amos and Andy. And this is the first of those 8 episodes that he starred in. This is from June 23rd, 1944. Yeah, let's listen to now the Rockwell Diamond on part one of Boston Blackie.
Rinso, R-I-N-S-O, Soapy Rich Rinso presents Boston Blackie, starring Chester Morris.
Municipal Tower to Transcontinental Flight 17. Municipal Tower to Transcontinental Flight 17. Over.
That's us, Tom. Check it.
Check. Transcontinental Flight 17 to Municipal Tower. Flight 17 to Municipal Tower. Over.
Police instructions. Check and see if you have male passenger occupying seat 24. Passenger occupying seat 24 wanted by police. Over.
I'm just checking my list, Joe. Yep, we got a man in 24. I'll tell him. Municipal Tower... We have a man in seat 24. The name he's traveling under is John J. Jones.
John J. Jones. Maybe that's his right name, but the police want him. They know him as Boston Blackie.
You Chicago police have been very cooperative. Thanks a million.
Glad to help you, Inspector Faraday. When we send a man to New York, you can return the favor.
Glad to. Anytime, Captain.
There's the plane now, Inspector. See it? Blackie's got to be on it. We know he was on the plane when it left Detroit, and it hasn't made any stops.
Well, Blackie's liable to get out of anything any time. I remember once I had him in 2 sets of handcuffs. And the next minute...
No handcuffs.
No, Blackie. Chances are I couldn't have made the charge stick anyhow. Never have been able to tie anything on him in 6 years.
You'll be able to arrest him now, won't you, Inspector?
You're sure Blackie's the man, are you, Miss Moray?
Oh, of course I'm sure. I was with my grandfather when he was robbed and the money stolen. The thief wore no mask, and I recognized him from the picture of Boston Blackie that was in the paper last year.
Mm.
Oh, I'm sure it was Blackie.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you keep asking me if I'm sure?
I just wanted to be certain, that's all. I've been waiting to get a witness to make a positive identification for a long time.
Oh, here comes the plane now. You think he'll have the money with him? I can't wait until I get my hands on it.
There's lots of money in this world, Miss Moray. What I can't wait to get my hands on is Boston Blackie. Go ahead in, Miss Moray. I've been keeping Blackie in my hotel room here until our plane leaves for New York. Talk to him yourself. I can't get anything out of him. Go ahead now. Monahan's in there guarding him, and I'll be right here outside the door.
All right, Inspector Faraday.
Blackie always was a soft touch for a girl. Here's hoping you get something out of him.
Oh, Inspector, you'll never know how important it is to me that I do. Hello?
He won't say a word, miss. Just sits there like he did all the time the inspector was questioning him.
Oh, I'll try. Blackie? Boston Blackie, would you talk to me?
About business or pleasure?
Maybe a little of both. Detective Monahan, could Mr. Blackie and I go over in the corner and talk?
Yeah, sure. I don't know why not. I'll stroll out to the window.
Would you please come over here with me, Blackie?
Why, sure. I've been waiting for a chance like this to have a little chat with you, Miss Moray. You identified me as the man who stole $10,000 from your grandfather.
Yes, yes, I did.
You know, you never saw me before in your life, Miss Moray.
I wish I had. Then I wouldn't be in such desperate trouble now.
You're in trouble. You had me arrested because you're in trouble? What is this, a new switch on the share the wealth plan?
Oh, please let me explain. From what I've heard of you, Blackie, you're the only man living who can help me. But I had no idea of where or how I could reach you.
Oh, so you made up the story of my stealing your grandfather's money, huh?
Yes, I did. I knew the police could trace your movements where I couldn't. And I knew you could get away from Inspector Faraday once I'd seen you.
Well, thanks for the confidence.
The very worst I could have said I was mistaken in the identification, and then they would have had to let you go. Only by then it would be too late.
Say, look, let's get organized. Too late for what?
To recover the diamond that was stolen from me.
You've got the wrong boy, lady. If a diamond was stolen from you, let the police get it back. They're in that business.
But that diamond, Blackie, the rest of my life depends on it. I must have it back by tomorrow night. Oh, please, please help me.
Well, with these handcuffs on and 2 New York detectives guarding me, I couldn't be of very much help to anybody.
But those handcuffs? Haven't I heard that you can get out of them whenever you want to?
Yes, but I've got to want to first.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm more than sorry. I'm miserable. I knew I had to reach you, and I just messed up everything. No, I'll never...
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Miss Murray. We'll figure some way out. Here, wipe your eyes with this handkerchief.
Thanks. Put your hand. You got all the handcuffs.
Okay, now. There, your eyes are nice and dry. Now blow. You feel better now?
Yes. Yes, I do.
All right, then. Let me have your bedtime story.
I don't know how I can laugh.
Oh, it's easy. You just open your mouth and close your eyes and think of Inspector Faraday. Never fails. Come on, Miss Murray. Tell me the whole story before Faraday gets restless.
Well, I'm engaged to George Atwater.
Yes?
We're to be married soon, and yesterday he brought me something to look at. The Jonathan Diamond.
The Jonathan, huh? Oh, that's worth a fortune.
Well, George's father has millions.
Yeah, Miss Murray, you all right over there?
Oh, yes, officer, thank you. I won't be a minute now. Blackie, the diamond belonged to George's father. George brought it over to show me, and then he had a little too much to drink, and I thought it safer if he left it with me. He agreed. And sometime during the night, it must have been stolen from my apartment.
I get it. If you don't produce the diamond, it'll be a mess. The police don't know anything about the diamond?
No. That's why I made up the story about my grandfather and the stolen money.
Well, when do you have to produce the Jonathan, Miss Murray?
Tomorrow night. George gets back from a trip then. He'll want it and... Oh, Blackie.
Tomorrow night. Well, it doesn't give me much time to work, but I'll try. Call the detective over here.
All right, but why?
Shh, don't ask questions. Just get him over.
All right. Officer. Officer, would you come over here a minute, please?
Sure, Miss Snatcher. Well, did he tell you anything?
No, but I've got something to tell you, Monahan.
Indeed, and what's that?
This.
You shouldn't have done that, Blackie. You shouldn't have hit the officer.
You sure would have disappointed me if you hadn't said that. Now, listen. I'm going out the window and down the fire escape. As soon as I get moving, you scream for Faraday. Tell him what happened, that I socked Monahan and put the handcuffs on you. Here, I'd better do that now. Faraday's got the key. He'll open them later. There. Now, remember, you finally worked this handkerchief from around your mouth and screamed. Have you got that?
Yes. Oh, Blackie, please remember that getting back that diamond means my marriage and my whole life's happiness.
Okay. Well, I'm going to New York, and I'll do my best. If I get back the diamond, you get married. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if instead of Boston Blackie, from now on I'm known as Chicago Cupid. Shorty, listen. When a piece of ice like the Jonathan Diamond is lifted, somebody's got to know something about it.
Look, Blackie, I've been out all night on it. Nobody knows nothing. All I could pick up was that a fella named Atwater owns it. None of the boys would touch it. That is, except Duke Walton. I'm telling you, it's as hot as a pistol, but Duke's been bragging that he'll grab it one of these days.
Yeah? Well, where can I find him?
Well, I checked that, too. He's out of town. That's definite. Yeah, he's been gone a week. Now, look, boss, why don't you lay off?
Shorty, I promised to get that diamond back. I chartered a plane out of Chicago last night after breaking out of that hotel room. Young Atwater isn't due back in town till tonight, so I still have a little time. I'm going to waste some of it on a visit to the Atwater house.
Ain't you a little out of your class up there, Blackie? You know, they got an awful lot of dough, those Atwaters.
You know something, Shorty? After the way that Moray girl smiled at me in Chicago, I kind of feel like $1 million myself.
Yes, sir?
I'd like to see Mr. Atwater.
Who shall I say is calling, please?
Mr. Jones. Mr. John J. Jones. Mr. Atwater doesn't know me, but you can say it's about his son.
About Mr. George Atwater, Jr.?
That's right.
He's in, sir. Would you like to see him?
George is in? Well, I certainly would like to see him. When did he get back?
A little while ago, sir. He returned earlier than we expected. Come this way. He's in the library, right here. Shall I announce you?
No, no, thanks. I'll go right in.
Very good, sir.
Hello there, Mr. Atwater.
Yes, I'm George Atwater. Who are you?
Well, my name is Jones, Mr. Atwater, John J. Jones. I'm a friend of your fiancée's.
Oh, a friend of Lee's?
That's right, and if you don't mind, I'd like to ask you a question.
Sure, go ahead.
Well, the night before last, when you left Miss Murray, you were a little,
Oh, what do you mean, a little? I was a lot.
Well, I don't mean to be personal, but did you stop off anywhere on your way home?
No, I got a cab and came right home.
Mr. Atwater, where do you usually keep the Jonathan Diamond?
I don't know what you're driving at, Mr. Jones, but, well, we keep it here in the library, in this wall safe. Only it's not here now.
Would you open the safe for me, please?
Well, now, Mr. Jones, you're a perfect stranger to me, even though you are a friend of Miss Moray's. Well, you could hardly expect... Oh. So, this is a holdup, huh?
I'm sorry I had to pull this gun on you, Mr. Atwater, but I want to see that safe. You don't mind if I lock the library door, do you?
I do mind, but I don't suppose that matters.
Not a bit. There we are. So the Jonathan was kept in this safe, huh? Combination, Mr. Atwater, and keep your hands where I can see them.
Sorry, Mr. Jones. I seem to have forgotten the combination.
Well, I haven't time to make you remember it. Oh, the safe doesn't look too tough. Come over here where I can watch you while I go to work on it.
All right. There's nothing inside the safe, but go ahead and open
it. Quiet. Take that watch off your wrist and put it in your pocket. It's making too much noise. I can't hear the tumblers drop. Come on, take it off.
All right.
I think it. I've got the first number. Now for the second one. This box of yours is pretty simple, Mr. Atwater. In fact, it's about the most unsafe safe I ever saw. There, that's the second number, all right? Do you want to be a good boy and tell me the last number? No? Okay, be a bad boy and watch me find it out for myself. There. Now that ought to do it. I'll try the handle now. Well, made it.
My compliments.
Save them. Let's take a look in this jewelry box. Oh, so the Jonathan diamond wasn't in the safe, huh? Well, what's this, then?
That's the Jonathan, all right. I meant to leave it at Miss Moray's apartment, but I changed my mind.
Open this door! Open it up! Open the door, Mr. Atwater! We're the police! Open up!
Faraday, he must have had Shorty watched and trail me here.
You don't mind if I close this safe door, do you, Mr. Jones? I want you to be cuffed with that diamond still in your hand. Well, this seems to be my day for unexpected visitors.
Now keep away from that door, Atwater.
You don't scare me. I'm going to open it. I'm coming.
I'm going.
You'll have to hurry. He's going through the window. Quick, he's got the Jonathan diamond. He must still be in the garden.
I've got two men out there. Maybe I can spot him from here. Come on, Monahan. Blackie, stop!
We've got him.
And he's got the Jonathan diamond.
At last, Boston Blackie caught red-handed.
All right, that is the first portion of Boston Blackie with the Jonathan diamond from June 23rd, 1944, starring Chester Morris. More after these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, we're listening to Chester Morris as Boston Blackie. Let's go back to June 23rd, 1944. This is called The Jonathan Diamond, the conclusion to Boston Blackie.
And now, back to the adventures of Boston Blackie, starring Chester Morris.
How do you like ourselves, Blackie? Air conditioning between the bars and everything. Comfortable enough for you?
Oh, sure. This one's wonderful. I wish you'd try sleeping on that mattress they have in here. I gave up in the middle of the night and slept on the stone floor. It was softer. Oh, come on, Faraday. How about a couple of pillows?
Oh, huh? Poor Blackie. Too bad I didn't hear you. I've suddenly gotten very deaf. Isn't that terrible?
You've suddenly gotten very deaf, and you've always been very dumb.
Oh, very funny, Blackie.
Yes, I know. New gag writer.
Last one, have to go back to kindergarten?
Yes, and he told me how much all the other children miss you since you stopped going, Faraday.
Blackie, we had to grab you on that Moray girl's charge.
All right, so you grabbed me.
A $10,000 stick-up, Blackie. That isn't important now. We'll talk about that later. But where's the Jonathan Diamond?
Jonathan Diamond? What's that?
Listen, Blackie, you've had that diamond in your hand. Now you had it when we broke in. Atwater saw it there. Where is it now?
Now, you listen, Faraday. You've got to get me out of here in a couple of hours. You haven't a thing to hold me on.
Oh, breaking into the Atwater house.
I broke out of the house, not into it.
Oh.
Now, see if that's a crime, Inspector.
You opened the safe in the library and you stole the Jonathan diamond. How about that?
You sure I did?
Mm.
Does that safe look forced? Did you find the diamond on me?
No to all those things. But we've got George Atwater as a witness.
A witness to what? I was calling on him at the suggestion of a mutual friend, Inspector.
Hmm.
We were having a chat when somebody started to pound on the door. I got scared and jumped through the window. You know, things like that happen, Inspector. People get scared and they jump.
Blackie, I'm telling you this, man to man, we've got a case against you. Atwater's word against yours that you robbed his safe. And slugging Monahan in Chicago. The Moray girl's testimony that you robbed her grandfather. That'll add up to 10 years at least.
Go ahead, Inspector.
All right, I'll be honest, Blackie. Young Atwater screaming about his diamond. Says you had it 1 minute and we grabbed you the next minute, so it can't be missing. Only it is. All right, you tell us where you hid it and I'll get him to drop all charges. I'll even talk to the Moray girl to get her to go easy if you return her doll. Now, how's that?
I don't know.
Oh, you must have it stashed somewhere. Give me your word of honor to deliver it back to me today and I'll let you out. Your word's always been good to me, Blackie. Now, come on, don't you want to get out of jail?
Oh, I don't know now, Faraday. It's kind of a nice jail, you know, air conditioning between the
Blackie, Blackie, be a good guy.
Okay, Faraday, as a favor to you, I'll come out. And you'll have your diamond back 2 hours after I leave here. But I'm not to be bothered during that time by the cops. You understand?
Bothered? You'll be protected. And thanks a million, Blackie.
That's all right, Faraday. I'll get plenty of satisfaction every time I remember you begging me to get out of jail.
Hello?
Miss Moray, this is Blackie. Can you talk?
Oh, yes, of course. Nobody's here. Did you...
Did I get the diamond? Well, yes and no, Miss Moray. Nobody ever stole it from your apartment.
What?
Atwater says he took it with him when he left you the other night.
But that's impossible. He didn't. I know he didn't. I even looked at it after he left.
Well, Miss Moray, will you meet me by the shrubbery alongside the library window of the Atwater house in exactly a half an hour?
Well, all right, but what are we going to do?
We're going to rob a safe, Miss Moray, with police protection. Keep that flashlight steady, Miss Moray, please. Mm-hmm. If we're lucky, the safe won't be locked.
Why not?
Because nobody knows I put the diamond back in it when the police pounded on the door. And it was only slammed shut by young Atwater. Well, here it is. There, you see? It was open. And here's the box that holds the Jonathan diamond. Put your flashlight on it. We'll take a quick look.
All right. There. Oh, the box is empty.
Uh-oh. Atwater must have seen me put it back and grabbed it. But why is he telling the police that I have it?
See that I'm not disturbed.
Quick, that's Atwater now. Put out that flash and get back at these babes. Hurry.
All right.
Seven. Six. Nine.
What are you doing, Blackie?
I'm counting the clicks on the dial. Seven. Three. Four. Two. Got it.
Hello. This is George Atwater. I got your message, but why did you call me here after I... Well, I don't care about that. We made a deal. I don't owe you a dime anymore, and you got what you wanted. Well, you have to expect it to be hot for a while. And look, remember this. I'm washed up with you and that crooked roulette wheel of yours. We're all square. And if you call me here again, I'll turn you over to the police. Yes, yes. If I hear of anybody who wants to buy it, I'll let you know. You'll what? Don't be foolish. Who'd believe that? Goodbye.
I think I understand everything now, Miss Moray, but I've got to find the man Atwater just called.
How can you? He didn't mention any names.
No, but I counted the clicks as he was dialing that number. If my ears haven't let me down, I can call that number, too. Anyhow, I'm going to try.
You think that man has a Jonathan diamond?
Yes, I think so. But you don't have to worry about it from now on. You won't be blamed because it was missing from your apartment.
But you're in a mess now, aren't you?
Well, yes, kind of. You see, I promised Faraday that he'd have his diamond back in 2 hours, and I can't keep that promise. Well, I hope the OPA hasn't put a ceiling on tempers, because if they have, he'll hit it.
Hello? Police headquarters.
Inspector Faraday, please.
Just a minute. Faraday speaking.
This is Blackie, Faraday.
Your time's up, Blackie. Have you got the Jonathan diamond?
Well, no, Inspector, I haven't.
You're stalling. Now, Blackie, you've crossed me for the last time. I'm going to have a dragnet out that'll have you down here before you know it, and you're going to stay in jail this time.
Yeah, but, Inspector, listen, I... He wouldn't listen, Shorty. I've got to work extra fast now.
Gee, Blackie, look, if there's anything
Hold
I
it,
can...
Shorty. I'm going to try that number Atwater called. Hello, Atwater told me to call you.
Yeah? Who's this?
I've got cash I'd like to trade in for something you've got. Atwater says that...
Atwater says, huh? Okay. I'm in an old house, 632 West 100th Street. First door on the right as you come in. Get here fast and we'll talk business.
Okay. Bye.
Worked, eh, Blackie?
I don't know. It was a little too easy. Come on, Shorty. We're going up there to get Faraday his diamond. unless his dragnet gets me first.
Blackie, duck down. Duck down this hallway.
Okay, what is it, Shorty?
Prowl car just coming this way. I never saw so many cops as we passed on the way up here.
Never mind, Shorty. Stay flattened out against this door until it's time for what I told you to do.
Yeah, okay, Blackie. But who really stole the Jonathan Diamond?
Nobody stole it, Shorty. Atwater left the stone at Lee Moray's apartment and then returned later that night and lifted it so that Miss Moray could report it stolen to the police.
Ixnay, Ixnay, boss. Coppers. Okay, now. Look, boss, why did Atwater want the Dane reported?
So he wouldn't be involved. This guy I called up, the one who lives in this building, has something on Atwater and wanted the diamond as his price for clamming up. Atwater had to get it for him, see?
Oh, yeah, I get it. He stashed it in his own safe until he could reach this guy and turn it over to him. Only you opened the safe before he could do it. And he had to figure out a new story, huh, boss?
Sure. All he had to tell the cops then is that he was afraid that Jonathan wouldn't be safe at the girl's apartment and that he went back in to get it.
Oh.
Huh. I thought it was pretty cute when I put the diamond back in the safe. But Atwater must have seen me. Well, wish me luck, Shorty. And don't forget what I told you to do.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, boss. Quick. Come on. It's okay now.
So long.
Yeah? Who is it?
I called you a little while ago.
Okay.
Open up.
Okay.
Well, Duke Walton. Put that gun down, Duke. You and I can make a deal.
Think so?
Sure.
Lucky you're not as cute as you thought. I called that water back and found your call was a phony. Too bad for you. Now I gotta bump you.
Wait a minute, Duke.
I'm gonna wait a couple of minutes, Blackie. Some friends of mine are coming over with a car to take you on a little trip. Now sit down in that chair and put your arms behind your back. Go on, I ain't the patient type.
Okay, Duke. How's that?
That's better. Now I'm gonna tie you up nice and pretty like that. How do you like it? Too tight for your pretty hands to be tied?
Well, yes, if you really want to know.
I don't. I'll give it an extra yank just to make sure.
Hey, Duke.
Huh?
Duke, look under the door.
Huh?
That's smoke.
Where? Hey, that's right. Well, that makes things easier. This joint's a fire trap. I'll scram out of here and leave you tied up, Blackie. Lucky, I guess I was just born under a lucky star. Eh?
Maybe. But don't forget, Duke, sometimes stars have a habit of falling.
Yeah, okay, so I'm ducking right out of here.
Fire! Fire! The whole building's on fire! Come on, get out of here!
That does it. So long, Blackie. Me and the Jonathan Diamond are getting out of here, and both of us are nice and safe, which is more than I can say for you, pal.
Wait a minute, Duke. I've got a proposition.
Sure, but I got a date. No use trying to bust him ropes, boy. Maybe the fire will bring him through for you, huh? Hey, you did it. How'd you get out of them ropes? Never mind, ain't gonna do you any good.
Oh, yes, it is, Duke. This place is on fire. Go on, try and get out.
I don't have to try, I'm getting.
Take a look at the door, Duke. It's locked.
Sure, it's locked, and I'm gonna open it right now. Hey, where'd the key go to?
I've got it, Duke, right here. I locked the door and removed the key when I had my back to the door after you got the drop on me.
Come on, give it to me. We'll both be burned to death.
Sure, Duke, here it is. Catch.
Hey, don't throw it like... Hey, where'd it go? I gotta get it.
Sure, you're gonna get it, but good. You missed me, sucker.
Oh, I'll sucker you. I'll get you for this, Blackie, if it's a... Take a million... Oh!
Hey, you're breaking my wrist.
Drop that gun. Okay. Now, where's the diamond?
Never mind the diamond, Blackie. The fire will both be trapped.
Well, there's no fire, sucker.
Huh?
My pal Shorty burned some papers in the hall and pounded on the door.
You...
Now, give her that diamond. You must have it on you. When you thought there was a fire, you'd have never left without it.
I ain't got it, Blackie. When I found your phone call was a phony, I give it to a guy to hold for
you. You're lying, Duke. I'm going to search you. Now turn around with your back to me and keep your hands in the air.
Yeah, okay, but I tell you, I ain't got it on me.
Well, we'll see. It's not here. Not here. It's not here.
Yeah.
It's me, boss. Everything all right?
Okay, Shorty, I'll let you in. Wait till I pick up the key. Now, don't move, you.
Well, it worked, huh, boss?
Yeah, it worked, but... Do you recognize this guy, Shorty?
Sure. That's Duke Walton, the guy I was telling you about. It was Bragg who'd have the Jonathan Diamond.
Well, he hasn't got it. I've searched him. He's clean, Shorty.
He's holding out, the dirty heel.
Yes, the dirty... Heel. Heel, huh? You know, Shorty, I think I've got something there. It's the one place I didn't look. Take off your shoes, Duke. Come on, take them off.
Yeah. Yeah, you win, Blucky. The ice is in my right shoe. There's a slide in the heel. The diamond's inside.
Now, that's being very sensible, Duke.
Yeah.
I'll just take the diamond out of that slot it's in and at the same time pull myself and Inspector Faraday out of a great big hole.
minutes. It's bargain day, Faraday. You've got your diamond, and I've got Miss Morey. Right, honey?
Well, for a while, Blackie. Then I've got to go back home to Wisconsin.
Oh, well, can we go now, Inspector?
Okay, Blackie. Go ahead. Beat it. You're in the clear. Only remember this. You make one slip, Blackie, and as sure as my name is Faraday, I'll be on your neck.
You'll be on my neck, eh? Okay, Inspector, but before Miss Morey leaves for Wisconsin, I hope I'll have her there for a little while first.
Oh, say, one more thing about Rinso. That same Rinso that's such a big help on wash day. I'd just like to add that it's also a mighty big help three times every day at dishwashing time. Even your greasiest roaster is a cinch to wash in those rich Rinso suds. And of course, Rinso's grand for all the soap and water jobs around the house. Walls, floors, woodwork, windows, tiles. They all come sparkling bright and clean with Rinso on the job. So get Rinso tomorrow for dishwashing, for housework, and for a wash that's... And now a glimpse at next week's adventure of Boston Blackie.
I won't do it, I tell you. I can't do it.
But Mr. Manletter, it's the only way your business can be saved.
I don't care about that. The only way it can be saved is by risking the life of my friend Boston Blackie. Well, I'd rather it were lost. I won't ask Blackie to keep that appointment. I don't even want to know about it.
All right, Mr. Manletter, if that's the way you want it.
I'm going out and try to raise the money. You'll hear from me later, and remember, I don't want Blackie to hear about this.
Hello, Mary. Get me Boston Blackie.
Be sure to listen at this same time next week for another exciting adventure with Boston Blackie, starring Chester Morris with Richard Lane as Inspector Faraday. You can see Chester Morris as Boston Blackie on the screen at your favorite movie theater. Boston Blackie's latest Columbia picture is One Mysterious Night, soon to be released. Original music for this program by Charles Cornell. This is Harlow Wilcox speaking for the makers of Rinso and wishing you all a very pleasant good night.
And don't forget, tomorrow, when you ask your grocer for the new Rinso, buy a cake of Life Boy at the same time. Life Boy's rich, purifying lather goes right after dirt and perspiration, leaves you feeling extra clean. So use Life Boy daily in your bath or shower. Remember, it's the only soap specially made to stop...
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Sorry, that's Boston Blackie, June 23rd, 1944, the Jonathan Diamond with Chester Morris. More after these words. So, Lisa, you heard that Boston Blackie episode, right?
I did.
Great quality, right?
Perfect.
So that's one of the 100,000 radio shows I have in my collection. And now that's a very rare program. That is Chester Morris as Boston Blackie. I think I have six or seven more of those episodes.
It threw me off when I heard it.
Yeah, because you have heard Dick Calmar right. as Boston Blackie. We have hundreds of those episodes, and we play them a lot. And that's why I wanted to start this club, the Classic Radio Club, because I have so many shows, and I want to handpick 10 shows every single month. Shows like this Boston Blackie episode, Jack Benny, you know, Burns and Allen, The Shadow, Gunsmoke, Have Gun Will Travel. I have so many shows, and I have them directly from the master recordings because we license these shows. And I wanted to set up a club where people can join. And the very first time, they get the 10 shows when they join on 5 CDs. And you're holding one right there, Lisa. There.
I've got it. I joined the club, and I got my monthly Classic Radio Club. It's actually 5 CDs. It cost me $4.99 plus shipping and handling. And on the 5 CDs, I've got CD 1 has Abbott and Costello show, which includes Who's on First Routine. It has Adventures of Sam Spade with Howard Duff. It has Dimension X and Escape, which is on CD 2. CD 3 has Fibber McGee and Molly. Oh, Toothache. And Gunsmoke. We've got Have Gun, Will Travel, and Inner Sanctum Mysteries on 4. And 5 has a Jack Benny program and Suspense, which is Sorry, Wrong Number with Agnes Moorhead.
Right.
This is the best of the best, you guys.
Yeah, and it's all uncut. All the original commercials are on there. There's no editing at all. It's the full 30 minutes of each show.
And I have a little promotion here that's got each of the shows and the dates and some photos and some information about each of the shows. So it's
liner
really
notes
terrific
that I've written on about each one, not only about the particular episode itself, but the series. So like with Suspense, it has Sorry Wrong Number with Agnes Moorehead. And I talk about that particular show, who wrote it and all about it. And then I also talk about Suspense. And I do that on all of them. So here's what happens, folks. When you join the club, you get the first five CD set for only $4.99. And it's in a collector case with all the liner notes, digitally remastered. The CDs are not burned. These are actually replicated, just like you would buy CDs in a store. And then every month, unless you cancel, you will get another five CD set with 10 more classic radio shows, and there will never be a duplicate show, and those are $14.99. So the first time it's $4.99, and then moving forward every month, it's $14.99, but the value is $39.95. So you're getting a great deal. And as I say, these are the best of the best. I'm hand-selecting them from my 100,000 shows. You will never get a show that is not brilliant sound quality. And to learn more about the Classic Radio Club, just go to ClassicRadioClub.com. Log on to ClassicRadioClub.com. It's all there. It's all on the website. How to join. Very easy. Just put your name and address and all that in there. Get your first five CD set for only $4.99. So check it out, ClassicRadioClub.com. All right, in our next hour, it's The Great Gildersleeve, starring Hal Perry from 1946. So stick around for episode two of our classic radio show.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
So do we have another Name That Tune this hour?
Carl, happy birthday.
Oh, wow.
It is absolutely your birthday. It is 12:11, 11 minutes into your birthday. Happy birthday.
I have been waiting for so long to become 21.
Well, August 20th is a big day, and I'm excited for you. I hope you have a great rest of your day, but I know the first hour will be the best part of your day.
thanks, Mike. Yeah, August 20th, it rolls around every 3 years, so that means I'm...
About 14.
Hey, I got your Name That Tune. This tune is copyrighted, and you can't play it publicly. Here's your first note.
I'm going to guess it in one note.
Okay.
He'll probably get it wrong.
Got it. All right, in this hour, it's The Great Gildersleeve from 1946. Hal Perry as Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve. And we're going to play our game, Cat's Pride. Crack the quote. What's the movie?
The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, I got this.
I know you
1,000%.
Roger.
Bet
on this?
All your money on me.
You got. I bet all my money on both of you.
Since you killed my Name That Tune,
that thing went over like a Led Zeppelin,
like a
lead balloon.
Led Zeppelin.
No, Led Zeppelin.
Okay.
Much bigger than a balloon.
1939.
Yes, 1939. All right. What do they win?
They're going to win a. How about a desktop indoor weather station? Brought to you by American Weather Makers Heating and Cooling. This is one of the most coveted prizes.
All right. We're running way late for some reason today. 312-981-7200. Call now. We'll take the third caller. 312-981-7200. Play the game. We'll be right back.
It's time now for Crack the Quote, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
I have this 100%, Lisa.
You know what? I think The Wizard of Oz is one of those classic movies that everybody loves.
Absolutely.
So we've got Jeff on the line. Hi, Jeff.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
I'm so glad that you're going to play the game with us today. We've got Roger to play with us, too. So here we go. I think this is going to be a no-brainer, so we'll see how it goes.
Then it must be the... Must be the straw,
what?
No brain. It has to be the
lion.
No, the lion's not.
No, it's the scarecrow. The scarecrow has no brain.
Well, I was going to say the straw man.
The lion has
the
no
man?
Heart,
yeah,
and the scarecrow
man.
Has
what
no
am I
brain.
Doing?
You guys, here we go.
Gosh,
number one.
I'm losing it.
You were lost it a long time ago.
I need to take
ago.
My Prevagen.
You need something. Number one, the human brain is a wonderful organ.
No.
Number two. Number two.
I don't think so.
Tears come from the heart and not from the brain.
No.
Here we go. You ready? Drum roll, please. What would you do with a brain if you had one?
Oh, there it is.
That's it. Number three.
Do we all agree?
Yeah.
Sure. Why
all right.
Not?
Let's hear it.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
And there she is.
There she is.
Wonderful Judy Garland. Jeff, you're a winner. You've won a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. It's a great weather station and a great company. They are the 60 Minute Men. Give them a call at 855-955-HVAC. Jeff, thanks so much. That was a no-brainer.
Hey, thank you. You have a nice evening.
Thanks,
Jeff.
Great to hear from
you. He's a big winner. All right, it's time for my brother's least favorite classic radio show, The Great Gildersleeve. But I got to tell you what, we had a lot of people text in saying that they can't wait for The Great Gildersleeve. So, they love The Great Gildersleeve.
Right.
This is called The Motor Scooter. It stars Hal Perry. Let's go back to December 18th, 1946. This is actually kind of a Christmas show, 1946. It's like the week before Christmas, and Leroy wants a motor scooter.
You're just getting a little excited for the end of the year.
Yeah, let's tune it in. Here's part one of The Great Gildersleeve.
The Kraft Foods Company presents The Great Gildersleeve. It's The Great Gildersleeve, starring Harold Perry, brought to you by the Kraft Foods Company, makers of a complete line of famous quality food products. Yes, it won't be long now. The counters are stacked. The department stores have issued their final ultimatums. A tradesman in a Santa suit lurks behind every Christmas tree, his pistol cocked, ready with his Christmas message. Stand and deliver, your money or your life. Grown-ups begin to wear that hunted look as they feel the holidays closing in upon them. But the children, hey, hey! Cheeks are flushed, hopes are high, talk is merry and a little wild.
You know, we have the craziest uncle. I mean, really, he's a scream, but so nice, isn't he, Leroy?
Yeah, he's okay sometimes.
It's so funny. Every year about this time, he gets us together, and he looks very solemn, and he says to us, "Children, I'd like you to sit down for a minute. I just want to warn you, we're going to have a very small Christmas this year. Santa Claus is very poor. So I don't want you to expect too much.
And Christmas morning? Oh, boy, everything.
Marjorie, I'd like you to sit down for a minute.
Yes, Unky?
Where's your brother? Have you seen him?
Bertie, have you seen Leroy?
He's out and back.
He's out and back.
Ask him to come in for a minute, will you?
Ask him to come in for a minute, will you?
Leroy, your uncle wants you. I don't know, but I'm coming to see. He's coming.
He's coming.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, does he have to slam it? Yes, I suppose he does.
Looking for me, Uncle?
Leroy, I'd like to have a little talk with you and your... Where did you get that cat?
I don't know. I found him out back. He's been hanging around all morning. Isn't he a beauty?
He's a monster. Get rid of him.
Oh, Unc, I was just going to ask you if we couldn't keep him.
I expected that. The answer is no.
But, Unc, he likes me. He's fond of me, Unc. See?
Leroy, if we tried to accommodate all the animals you claim are fond of you, we'd be living in a Noah's Ark.
Oh, but gee whiz.
Now, you had a dog 2 Christmases ago, and you didn't take care of him. That's why he ran away. I told you then, no more animals.
But, Unc, I'm older now.
You're no more dependable. Not one whit.
What's a wit, Unc?
Don't try to change the subject. Get rid of the cat.
Oh, Unc, I'd take care of him. He wouldn't be any trouble.
It isn't a he, it's a she.
Want a bet?
He, she, or it. Now get rid of it. I want that cat out of here before he becomes an issue. Every time I let you play with some animal for 5 minutes, we have to have a whole great big thing about it. Now put him outside.
Okay. Poor old fellow, everybody treats him mean. Well, I'm your friend.
Cat's too big anyway. If there's anything I can't stand, it's an overgrown cat. I don't mind kittens. They wouldn't grow up into cats.
You liked Aesop?
Aesop was a very unusual cat. This cat is ordinary. Tell it just by looking at him.
You wouldn't say that if you knew him.
Let's not have any more talk about cats, shall we, children? What I wanted to speak to you about is Christmas.
Here it comes.
Now, Christmas will be here shortly, and I think I ought to warn you.
I know what I want.
That's not the Christmas spirit, my boy. The spirit of Christmas is in giving, not getting.
Oh, I'm going to give you a present, don't worry. March, too. I'm going to give them both super presents. If you ever pay me the allowance you owe me.
Do I owe you money?
Do you owe me? $1.25.
Well, remind me about it.
I'm reminding you.
Remind me some other time.
You can't give till you get, you know.
I haven't got it on me right now. Some other time, Leroy.
Okay. But don't blame me if you're disappointed on Christmas.
That's just the point I'm trying to get to, my boy. The best way to avoid being disappointed on Christmas is not to expect too much.
This year, I'm only going to ask for one thing. That's all I'm going to ask for is one thing. Just one thing, that's all. One thing.
Yes. Well, that's good, because this year Santa is really going to have a tough...
Just one thing, that's all. Just one thing.
He's really going to have a tough time. You see, with prices as high as they are...
That's all I want is one thing.
You might as well ask him what it is, Uncle Mort.
Do you want to know?
No, but what is it?
A motor scooter.
You mean one of those...
Yeah, one of those little red things you ride around on, like a motorcycle, only better. They're a lot safer, Unc, and kids can ride them. They hardly burn any gas at all.
Leroy, those things cost $150.
They do?
At the very least, maybe $200.
Gosh, that's the only thing I really want. I've been wanting one of those ever since I can remember. I guess I want a motor scooter more than anything else in the world.
Now be reasonable, Leroy. Don't get your heart set on something that's impossible.
Craig's gonna get one.
Who said so?
Craig.
Craig is a great big... Craig is a little boy, Leroy. You can't believe everything, he says.
Just the same, he's gonna get one. He said so.
It'd be just like that four-flusher Buller to give his kid an expensive toy like that.
It wouldn't be so expensive, Aunt. Craig and I got it all figured out. When we get our scooters, we can do all kinds of things. We can deliver papers, we can run errands for people and charge them for it. Why, the scooters will pay for themselves in a couple of weeks. No kidding.
Yeah.
Think it over, hey, Unc?
Leroy, I want you to forget this whole idea. Do you understand? Just forget about it completely.
Okay, I'll forget about it.
I mean it.
I've already forgotten about it, Unc. It'll be just as... I'll be just...
Listen, you don't seem to get the idea. Gee, how can I... I'll have you children know that I'm not made of money. Do you understand?
Sure, sure.
Marjorie?
I don't care what I get, Unky. Anything you decide, I'll be grateful for.
That's the spirit, my dear. Leroy, why can't you be more...
Me too, Unc. Anything at all will be okay with me. Anything at all.
Well, it won't be a motor scooter. You can bank on that. Just get that out of your head right at the start. A motor scooter is out of the question. Understand?
Yeah, sure. Okay.
They're not only expensive, they're dangerous. And besides, they're expensive. Everything's expensive. Now, we're contributing to the orphanage out there, little Christina. That'll have to be our main Christmas. You've got to cut down. Motor scooters are out. You understand?
Yeah, sure. They're too expensive. Who wants a motor scooter?
I mean it, confound it. Don't wake up Christmas morning expecting to see one under the tree because there won't be one. Do you get it?
Okay. Is it all right if I go out and play now?
Confound it. When I say I mean it, I mean it. All right, go ahead.
Thanks, Unc. Thanks a lot. Oh, boy, I got to tell Craig.
You know, I don't think he believes me. What are you grinning at, Marjorie?
Unky, you're so transparent.
Transparent? What do you mean?
You overdo it. Now, 2 years ago, Leroy wanted a dog. You told him 50 times, if you told him once, that a dog was out of the question. So on Christmas, what did he get? A dog.
Well, sure.
And last year, it was a set of drums. For weeks, you kept telling him they were too expensive. And all the time, you had them hidden in a closet. No wonder he's on to you. You ought to keep quiet about the scooter.
Listen, I mean it. Do you think I've got $150 to throw around?
Unky, you're a darling.
Oh, let go.
But you couldn't fool a fly. There's a Christmas kiss. I'm going straight upstairs now and wrap the present.
She doesn't believe me either. How am I going to kill this thing? Bertie!
Yes,
sir? Bertie, I positively will not buy Leroy a motor scooter.
No,
I want to go on record before at least one member of this family is never having the slightest intention of doing so. You're my witness.
Oh, shucks. You can trust me, Mr. Gilsleeve. I ain't gonna tell him.
Oh. You know yourself, Peavy, getting such expensive presents as that isn't good for a boy. It could ruin his character.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. Why are you suddenly so concerned about Craig Bullard's character?
Because Confound it, if Craig gets a motor scooter, then I've got to give Leroy one, that's all. I can't have Leroy disappointed on Christmas while Craig goes chugging up and down the street. A little show-off.
Mm.
That's my problem, Peavy. It's how to disappoint Leroy without disappointing him.
How do you know Craig is going to get a scooter?
I don't. That's what I'd like to have you ask Mr. Bullard, if you will.
Why don't you ask him?
Because I threatened to punch him in the nose last week.
Him too?
I told him to stay off the property. He told me to stay off his.
You seem to be narrowing the circle of your acquaintance these days, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Well, never mind. Will you do as I ask?
I don't know.
It's a small enough favor, for heaven's sake.
But it's none of my business. I just can't say to Mr. Bullard, what's this I hear about you giving Craig a high-priced scooter for Christmas?
No, no, you don't have to do it that way, Peavy. Just be tactful. Be casual. Sneak up on it.
How?
Well, for instance, you could look out of your window and say, well, there goes a boy on a motor scooter. By the way, Mr. Bullard, what are you giving Craig for Christmas?
I don't think it'd work.
Why not?
Well, suppose no boy went by on a scooter.
Ye gods, Peavy, you could pretend you saw one, couldn't you?
That would be an untruth.
I know, you just don't want to ask him.
Well, Mr. Gildersleeve, I'll tell you. A man who will run a drugstore will do almost anything, but you have to draw the line somewhere. And when it comes to snooping, even a pharmacist...
All right, forget it. I'm sorry I asked.
Uh-oh, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Yes?
In case I shouldn't see you in the meantime, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
All right, that's the first portion of The Great Gildersleeve from December 18th, 1946, Motor Scooter with Hal Perry, sponsored by Kraft. All right, let's get this straight now, Lisa. The Tin Man needed a heart.
Yes,
right?
That's right.
The Lion needed courage.
Right.
The
Scarecrow
needed a brain.
I know. I think we may have misspoke, but that's
and
that,
Dorothy
that's it.
Needed to go home. She wanted
sure
to go back
did.
To Kansas.
She sure did.
And I think Toto needed a bone. I think that's what he needed. He wanted a Milky Way bone or
milk bone.
Milk. What is it called?
A milk bone.
Yeah, but is it? They're just called milk bones, right?
Yeah.
I think that's what he wanted.
I think he needed a Milky Way bone.
He wanted that.
Yeah, with the caramel inside.
Or he wanted a female companion. Maybe he could have wanted that.
I'm not going to comment on that.
You know?
Yeah, it's possible, but I don't.
But
think
that's
so.
What they all needed.
He had Dorothy.
That was such a great movie, 1939.
Yeah,
there was so many. You know, Steve and Johnny were here earlier.
Well, they were
WGN
here.
WGN royalty were
well,
here.
Well, yeah,
earlier.
I posted a picture actually of us together. You can check it out on our Facebook page.
The nicest people.
They are, and his brother, Steve's brother Lee, was here to promote
yes.
his memoir that he wrote. He was
and
here
he
as a
gave
guest
us
on
a
Rick
copy
Hogan's
of it.
Show.
I can't wait to read it. And it was they're so great. And we were talking about 1939, how it may be the greatest year for movies of all time, because you had incredible movies that year, including The Wizard of
sure.
Oz and, of course, Gone with the Wind.
Right.
You had the what was that one movie with Burgess Meredith? Of Mice and Men.
Were they all in 1939,
yeah.
all these
movies?
There's
a bunch of great movies that came out in 1939
wow.
of Mice and Men. That was a great movie with Burgess Meredith and Lon Chaney.
I didn't realize they all came out the same year.
Yeah. Great. And many other ones, too. I can't
Gone
remember.
Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, I said Gone with the Wind.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah, I said that. Were you not listening
I
to
wasn't.
Me?
I wasn't.
You don't listen to me, and I don't listen to you.
I know.
It's okay.
But I usually listen to you.
All right, well, it's time for news. When we come back from the news, it's the conclusion to The Great Gildersleeve.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
I like that like last note on the piano there.
It's calming.
Yeah.
It's a calming force in a chaotic room.
There's a lot going on because we had birthday cake. And
I don't
we had
know.
Presents.
You know why? It's a 2-hour show and
we did a 40-minute game.
I just there were a lot
tune.
Of rules and instructions to get through.
It was supposed to be 3 minutes, it ended up being 40 minutes.
There was a lot. We're gonna work on
and
that.
And then we had Boston Blackie, Great Gildersleeve. We had guests in. There was a lot going on.
I don't know. I think it's just because it's 2 hours and we're used to having three.
You guys never sang happy birthday to me, though.
You know what?
You never did.
We didn't.
Never sang happy birthday to me.
We took a picture with the birthday cakes.
Yeah, but you didn't sing.
And then we started eating right away.
Yeah, you just started eating food.
I'm going to sing to you, but I'm going to wait till the radio show starts.
Please don't.
Oh, I'm going to.
All right, yeah. No, nobody's saying happy birthday.
All right,
to me.
Well, I'm going to.
Oh, well. What are you going to do?
Sorry.
All right, we're listening to The Great Gildersleeve, a funny show. Leroy wants a motor scooter for Christmas. Gildersleeve has other ideas. Let's go back to December 18th, 1946. Here's the conclusion to The Great Gildersleeve.
Well, that's all, Eve. I just wanted to return your Plato. Darn interesting book. Thanks for lending it to me.
You're quite sure you finished it?
Oh, yes, yes, I'm finished with it.
I'll be glad to have you keep it a little longer if you...
Oh, no, no, thanks. I think I've gotten all I can out of it. Oh, say, there was one other thing.
Do come inside. It's so cold out here.
Well, just for a minute. It's about these motor scooters the kids are riding these days. Very dangerous contraptions.
Motor scooters?
Yes. I've been thinking it might be a good idea, Eve, if you pass a rule against any motor scooters at school.
Well, none of the children have motor scooters, Throckmorton. Not that I've seen.
I know, but some child might get one. You know, Christmas coming on. Some of these four-flushers that don't know anything about bringing up children might...
Well, I couldn't very well pass a rule against something that hasn't even come up. Now, could I?
Well, you're the principal, Eve. If you just sent a note home with the kids, no motor scooters. You know, before Christmas, before it's too late. Might be doing somebody a favor.
Leroy wants a motor scooter. Is that it?
How'd you know?
You're so easy to see through, Throckmorton.
Women are always claiming they can see through me. Why is that? My own niece. I get the very same thing from her.
Marjorie is a smart girl.
Am I so dumb?
Well, I don't think you always understand children very well.
I'd like to know who understands them any better. Listen, I'm on to them every minute.
Well, maybe so. But if you want to get Leroy's mind off motor scooters, I don't think the way to do it is to tell him he can't have one.
No? How then?
Convince him there's something else he wants more. Get him so interested he'll forget about scooters.
By George, there's one thing I'll say for you, Eve. You've got sense.
Well, thank you for the compliment, as far as it goes.
Well, that isn't all you got, either.
I'm afraid that was an afterthought.
I'll show you whether it was an afterthought or not.
Another time, Throckmorton.
Always putting me off.
You've returned the book, and you've told me what you really came for. Now, was there something else?
You make it awfully tough for a fella. Well, goodbye, Eve.
Goodbye, Throckmorton.
Oh, say.
Yes?
In case I shouldn't see you in the meantime, I am...
Are you looking for something?
Too early for mistletoe, I guess. Well, I just have to come back, that's all. Goodbye, Eve.
Goodbye.
Well, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Let's see. You said about Leroy, get him interested in something else. Is that it?
That's it.
Guess I got that straight. Well, Goodbye, Eve.
Goodbye.
I'd better get out of here. You'll be seeing through me again. Goodbye. Goodbye, Eve.
Well, let's see now how Gildersleeve is coming in his negotiations with Leroy. Strolling out into the backyard, he finds Leroy hard at work in the garage.
Well, my boy, what's going on here?
Cleaning up.
This isn't like you, Leroy.
Well, I'm just trying to clear a space here.
Oh? Space for what?
Well, Well, in case I get anything for Christmas that I need a space for.
Say, Leroy.
Yeah?
I've been thinking. About what we were talking about the other day, about Christmas.
You mean about a scooter?
Well, no, about Christmas. There's one thing you've never asked for, Leroy, and I'm surprised you haven't. Because, gosh, I should think it would be an awful lot of fun. That's a train.
A train? You mean an electric train?
Sure, they're more fun than a barrel of monkeys. They have wonderful trains now.
Oh, gee, I never thought you...
Well, they have bridges and tunnels and automatic switches and whistles and everything. Regular little trains. Think what fun you and I could have if we built a railroad together. A miniature railroad.
Would you help me?
Help you? I'd be up there playing with it every evening. And Saturdays and Sundays as well.
Say, that'd be super. We could make a bridge.
Sure.
We could have wrecks.
Yeah, sure. We could do anything. I don't know a finer toy for a boy than a train. A bushel of fun at the same time educational and instructive. Just think. On rainy afternoons, Craig would be sitting over there looking out the window, unable to ride his scooter, and you'd be up in your room with your train, having the time of your life.
Oh, boy, would Craig be sore. He'd be wanting to play with my train all the time.
Yeah.
Bad chance.
Yeah, sure. He wasn't smart enough to ask for a train for Christmas. That's his tough luck.
Hey, I just remembered. I've got a train catalog. It's Pig's, but he lent it to me. It's up in my room. Shall I go get it?
Let's go up there and look at it together, shall we, Leroy? Pick out the stuff we'll need.
Okay.
Yeah, come along.
Hey, you know what they have now? They have automatic couplers and locomotives that puff smoke even. Will Craig be sore?
Yeah.
I'm going to clean everything else out of my room and just have trains. I better keep the room locked when I'm not in there in case of the kids. You can play with it anytime you want, though, huh? And signals. They have automatic signals.
Pretty excited, aren't you, my boy? Tell you what we'll do. We'll not only get a train, we'll each get an engineer's cap.
And will?
Sure. Whenever we play with the trains, I'll be the engineer and you can be the fireman.
Oh, no, I'm the engineer. You can be the conductor.
All right, Chief, whatever you say. You're the boss. Board! Toot, 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 toot. Where's the catalog, Leroy?
Just a sec, Unc. I'll find it here somewhere. Maybe it's under this stuff.
Oh? You sure you had it?
Yeah, it's here all right. I put it where I'd be sure and find it. Maybe in here.
Oh. Oops. This room of yours could stand a little straightening up, Leroy.
Yeah, I was just going to... Ah, here it is. Here it is, Hunk.
Well, let's sit down here among the debris and look at it together. Oh, what have you got in your bed there?
Huh?
I sat on something.
Let me see. Oh, it's my toy tank. Yeah.
Well, that's not a very good way to take care of it, Leroy.
I don't need it anymore. What the heck? The war's over.
I certainly hope you'll take better care of your train than that.
Oh, sure. I'll take good care of it.
Well, good. Let's see here now.
Let me show you.
Yeah?
Here's the locomotive I like. The big one, Unc, you see?
Oh, yeah.
Hudson-type locomotive, real headlight, automatic reverse, firebox glows red, accurate in every detail.
37.50.
And then here's the tender that goes with it. That's the coal car.
Yeah.
You see, it has a whistle gadget built right into it.
11.25. Let me look at that book, Leroy.
Sure.
Yeah. Scale model passenger cars, each 8.75. Remote control switch, 6.50. Automatic crossing gate, 4.50. Complete Hudson Flyer train outfit. Includes locomotive, tender, 3 passenger cars, 16 sections of track, 2 switches, 100 and... In... Here.
Where are you going?
No place. You know, Leroy, when you come right down to it, the toys you have the most fun with are the toys you make yourself.
What do you mean?
How would you like a set of tools, my boy, of your very own?
You mean no train?
Well, I'll tell you now about trains. The trouble with trains, you play with them a few times, and then you get tired of them. Now, if I got you a train, why, next year you'd have completely outgrown it, my boy. Be just kicking around here getting busted like all this other stuff. Just make you feel bad. Now, I think it'd be much more sensible if... Leroy, are you listening to what I have to say?
What do I want with tools? I can use yours.
But if you had tools of your own, my boy, your very own, you're too big a boy for trains and kid stuff like that.
I'm not so big.
But just think, Leroy. Tools. You could make things. Tyrax. Tabarets.
Some fun.
All right. If you're going to be like that about it, if you won't cooperate, we'll just forget about Christmas, that's all. We'll just forget all about it. There'll be no Christmas, that's all. Christmas is for people who cooperate. We'll just give Marjorie all the presents, that's all. Well, why doesn't somebody say something?
Would you like some more of something, Mr. Gilsleeve?
No thanks, Bertie. Where's Leroy?
Up in his room.
Did you tell him I said to come down?
Yes.
All right, he can just go without a supper then.
He said he didn't want any. He's in bed.
In bed?
Mr. Gilsleeve, I know it's none of my business, but when a boy don't want to eat, I don't...
No, Bertie, I'll handle this.
Yes, sir.
Leroy is in bed, you say?
Yes.
Oh, that's too bad. Confound it. Why does Christmas have to come up anyway? Just makes for a lot of trouble. A lot of hard feeling. Hope Leroy didn't take me literally when I said there wouldn't be any Christmas. Poor little fellow. After all, he is just a kid. He's probably up there crying his eyes out. Maybe I ought to run up and speak to him, huh? What do you think, Bertie?
Why don't you do that, Mr. Gilsleeve?
Will you excuse me, Marjorie?
Certainly. But I don't know that Leroy will.
Go up and see.
I'll put this back in the oven and keep it warm for you, Mr. Gilsleeve.
Don't bother, Bertie. I don't deserve it. Poor little tyke. I'm too hard on the boy, that's all. I don't mean to be. It's Christmas, that's what it is. Leroy. It's your old Uncle Leroy. Mind if I come in?
Well, hi, Unc. Hi.
Well, you don't look particularly heartbroken, I must say.
Oh, I'm okay. I just thought I might as well go to bed. After all, I have to go to bed sometime, hey, Unc?
What's that you've got in bed with you?
Huh? Nothing.
Come on. Now, what is it?
Oh, nothing, Uncle. Honest. No kidding. I haven't...
Come on. You want me to pull off the covers?
No, really. I'll show you both my hands. Look.
Leroy.
I don't know how he got in here, Unc. I tried to get rid of him like you told me, honest. But he climbed up on the roof and begged me to let him in.
Leroy?
Unc, please. He hasn't got a home.
Would you like to keep him, my boy?
Keep him? You mean it?
We'll see. Do you think you'd rather have the cat than a train, Leroy?
Oh, boy, would I?
You'd rather have him than a set of tools?
Are you kidding?
Okay, Leroy, you may keep him.
Oh, thanks, Unc. You're super. Hey, this cat's crazy about me, Unc. No kidding. I'm going to teach him tricks and everything. That's a very valuable cat, you know it.
Well, I'm glad you're pleased with him, Leroy. And by the way, I want to apologize for shouting at you the way I did.
Ah, that's okay.
I guess your old uncle gets off his trolley once in a while.
Who doesn't? I make mistakes myself.
Now, why don't you slip on your bathrobe and come down to supper?
Can I bring the cat?
All right, bring the cat. Liberty Hall, Christmas comes but once a year. If it came any oftener, we'd never live through it. Yes.
Oh, hi, Unc. I didn't see you.
You're the boy I thought wasn't interested in tools.
Yeah, well, I'm using yours. I hope you don't mind.
Well, not if you put them away. What are you doing there?
Making something.
Oh, making something. May I ask what it is, or is that telling?
It's something for the cat.
Oh, well, that's a good idea. The cat. What is it? A house?
No, it's not a house. It's a box, sort of.
Cat box, eh?
No, it's not a box, really. It's to ride the cat on the back of my motor scooter.
Oh!
Oh, well, fine. I know I'm not going to get one, Unc, I know. But it never does any harm to be on the safe side. You know.
Nuts. Right back where we started. Only now we've got a cat.
Good night, folks.
The Great Gildersleeve is played by Harold Perry. It is written by John Whedon and Sam Moore. The music is by Jack Meekin. Included in the cast are Walter Tetley as Leroy, Louise Erickson as Marjorie, and Lillian Randolph as Bertie. Richard LeGrand as Mr. Peavy. This is John Lang saying goodnight for the Kraft Foods Company and inviting you to listen in again next Wednesday for the further adventures of The Great Gildersleeve. Plenty of rich, velvety, smooth ice cream. Any flavor you like, always on hand. Sounds swell? It is, and so easy to enjoy when you buy the new Kraft product called Frizz. F-R-I-Z-Z. Yes, Frizz makes delicious homemade ice cream right in your refrigerator. Real ice cream with plenty of milk and cream in it. Just add water, a little sugar, and freeze according to directions on the package. Made by an exclusive process that retains that fresh cream flavor, it freezes smoothly, gives you 6 generous servings from 1 package of Frizz.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
That is The Great Gildersleeve, December 18th, 1946. The Motor Scooter for Christmas, starring Hal Perry along with Walter Tetley, sponsored by Kraft, is heard on NBC. They said a product called Frizz. What is that? Frizz?
Right.
It was a Kraft product.
Right. It's like Fizz, but with an R.
With a Frizz.
Right.
All right. Well, I don't know. I've never had it.
I've never had any
Frizz that I know of. All right. Hope you enjoyed The Great Gildersleeve.